WeCatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome, curious minds. I'm really glad you're joining us for today's deep dive. We're about to tackle an idea that's, well, not just transformative, but often completely misunderstood, shaping so much of our modern politics. Today, we're dissecting, you know, a century confusion around one powerful word, socialism. And we're doing it through Hal Draper's essential work, Socialism from Below.
And that dissection, yeah, that's exactly why this is so vital today. There's just so much confusion around socialism, right? People mix it up with authoritarian states or just any kind of top-down control. Draper's book, it's not just history. It's more like a diagnostic tool. It helps us see why so many efforts to build a better world, well, why they stumbled.
Right.
He helps cut through all the political noise to get at the real historical context, the different meanings, and ultimately what genuine democratic liberation actually looks like. It's about spotting real freedom from its top-down fakes.
That's a really helpful way to frame it. So who was Hal Draper, this thinker who managed to bring such clarity to such a charged topic?
Hal Draper lived 1914 to 1990. He was this incredibly thorough American socialist theorist, political activist, and scholar. What makes him stand out, I think, is this potent mix of serious academic work and real hands-on grassroots organizing.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't just thinking about movements from afar. He was right in there, you know, deeply involved, especially with the Independent Socialist League, helping shape their ideas.
So someone who really walked the talk, not just theorized, what about his scholarly side? How did he get this deep understanding to critique whole historical movements?
Oh, he was meticulous, really dedicated. He spent decades just digging into Karl Marx's original writings, even unpublished stuff, letters, you name it.
Wow.
And not just to score points, but to genuinely grasp the real democratic core of Marxism, which he felt had been seriously twisted over the years. His massive five-volume series, Karl Marx's Theory of Revolution, and his earlier piece, The Two Souls of Socialism, these are foundational. And crucially, Draper took what's called a third camp socialist position.
Third camp, what does that mean exactly?
It meant he rejected both Western capitalism and Soviet-style totalitarianism equally. This wasn't just being anti-everything. It gave him this unique credibility, you know, an unbiased lens to critique both systems from a truly democratic socialist viewpoint. He saw socialism not as some abstract idea, but as a living, breathing democratic practice.
Okay, right. Let's unpack this book then. So what's Socialism from Below really about at its heart? Sounds like it's more than just looking back at history.
You're absolutely right. It's much more. Mm-hmm. Think of it as, well, part theoretical manifesto, part practical guides. Its main goal, its core purpose, is to reclaim the idea of socialism itself, reclaim it from those bureaucratic and authoritarian versions that really dominated so much of the 20th century, unfortunately. Draper wants to pull it back to its democratic participatory roots.
And this reclamation hinges on a really key distinction he makes. Can you break down this socialism from above versus socialism from below? Why is that so critical?
That distinction, it's everything in the book. Socialism from above basically covers any approach that tries to bring about socialism using existing state power or relying on smart leaders or even revolutionary groups acting for the people.
Okay, acting for them, not with them.
Exactly. This includes things like Soviet-style state control, but also social democratic reforms handed down, even utopian schemes where some enlightened elite gift society with change, the common thread. Ordinary people are seen as passive, just recipients.
Ah, I see. And socialism from below then flips that completely, puts the power somewhere else.
Precisely. It's the polar opposite. Socialism from below grows directly out of people's own actions, their own organizing, their own democratic involvement, working people themselves. It's fundamentally democratic, participatory, rooted in real life, real struggles. And the core principle, which Draper lifts straight from Marx, is crystal clear. The emancipation of the working classes must be conquered by the working classes themselves.
Conquered by the working classes themselves. That's a really active, powerful idea. This distinction changes how you look at these movements. So who was Draper trying to reach with this book? Who's the audience?
He's aiming pretty broadly, actually. It's for longtime activists, maybe wondering why past efforts went wrong. But it's also for newcomers, people just trying to figure out what real democratic socialism could even look like.
Makes sense.
Basically, anyone interested in social change, democracy, economic justice, but maybe especially useful for folks involved in unions, community groups, progressive politics. It's like a guide to the past and the future, showing how elite control took over, but also painting a picture of what real socialist democracy could be.
Okay, let's really dig into this framework now, the one that runs through the whole book, the two souls of socialism. You mentioned he traces socialism from above way back, even before Marx was around.
Yes, exactly. He shows it's this recurring theme in history. Like he talks about philanthropic elitism. Think of the utopian socialist Robert Owen, Saint-Simon. Brilliant critics in capitalism, sure, but they believed a better society had to be designed and built by smart thinkers or rich patrons for the masses who were seen as, well, passive material to be shaped.
Like a top-down social blueprint. Okay, then there's revolutionary elitism, people like Auguste Blanqui.
A different style, but still from above. Blanqui and his followers thought a small secret group, a vanguard, should stage a coup, grab power, and then sort of teach socialism to everyone else. Again, change imposed, not self-generated.
Imposed, right. And he even brings in state socialism, like Ferdinand LaSalle appealing to Bismarck's Prussia. That seems like a really strange alliance to us today.
It does, doesn't it? But LaSalle saw the existing state as a tool, you know, something you could use to appeal to get policies implemented, rather than thinking the state itself needed fundamental change or replacement by the people. And then, of course, the big one. Draper calls Stalinism communism the most monstrous version of socialism from above, where this totalitarian party state machine just crushes any independent action by workers, any democracy, the total opposite of self-emancipation. It's amazing how many shapes this from above idea takes.
It really is a persistent pattern through history. But then Draper contrasts all of this with socialism from below, which he argues really found its footing with Karl Marx.
Exactly. And just to hammer home that core principle again for Draper, and he argues for Marx too, the emancipation of the working classes must be conquered by the working classes themselves. It's not just a nice phrase. It means people have to learn how to rule by actually doing it, learn to be free by fighting for freedom themselves. People like Rosa Luxemburg carried this idea forward, stressing mass action, workers' democracy. But here's where it gets really interesting and maybe controversial. He dives headfirst into the most misunderstood phrase in Marxism, the dictatorship of the proletariat.
Oh, yeah, that phrase. It immediately makes people think of totalitarian rule, right?
But Draper says that's totally missing the point of what Marx meant.
Completely missing the point, according to Draper. You have to understand the language of the 19th century. Back then, dictatorship didn't automatically mean one-man tyranny. It often meant the political rule of a whole social class.
Ah, okay. Like the rule of a class.
Precisely. Marx saw all states, even republics, as ultimately representing the interests of the ruling class, the dictatorship of the bourgeoisie, the capitalist class. So when he talked about the dictatorship of the proletariat, he meant the democratic rule of the working class majority, the masses taking political power collectively to reorganize society from the bottom up, not putting a dictator in charge.
So it wasn't about a single leader or even one party controlling everything, but the whole working class democratically running things. That's a completely different picture. It is. And Draper points to a real historical example. The Paris Commune is 1871. Marx saw that as the model.
The Paris Commune. What was so special about it?
It was this incredible short-lived experiment in radical direct democracy. Universal suffrage, officials elected but also instantly recallable if they didn't follow the people's will. It combined making laws and carrying them out with direct involvement of working people. It was the absolute opposite of a one-party state. So Draper uses it to show how twisted the common understanding of dictatorship of the proletariat became.
That really flips the script. It's clear Draper wants us to look at history differently, but he wasn't just about big ideas. He had practical advice too, didn't he? Like his critique of the microsect. What was that about?
Right, that essay shifts focus to the nitty-gritty of political organizing. He's critiquing these small, rigid political groups, sects, he calls them. They kind of turn inwards, become isolated.
Okay, I think I know the type.
Yeah. He warns against them prioritizing being ideologically pure over actually connecting with real struggles people are facing. He stresses building broad democratic movements, not these little dogmatic clubs, and connects directly back because these sects, even with all their revolutionary talk, often end up acting like a mini socialism from above internally. You know, the enlightened few who know best for everyone else. It's a call to be open, democratic, and engaged with reality.
That makes sense. This deep dive into history and Marx's real ideas really highlights some powerful threads running through Draper's work. What are the big overarching messages? you take away?
Well, connecting it all, Graeber keeps coming back to a few crucial themes. The first, and maybe the most central, is that democracy is the very essence of socialism. He argues that real socialism isn't something separate from democracy. It is democracy, just extended fully into economic and social life. A society that isn't deeply democratic in workplaces, communities, everywhere, just can't be socialist in his view.
That's powerful. It makes you think.
Yeah, makes you reflect, doesn't it? How often do you feel really heard, truly involved in decisions affecting you, even in supposedly democratic places? Draper wants us to close that gap.
It really emphasizes democracy as a daily practice, not just voting.
Exactly. And that connects to the second big theme, the principle of self-emancipation. Freedom isn't something handed down. It has to be taken, seized by people themselves. The struggle itself is what prepares people to wield power responsibly. Socialism, just given from the top, that just swaps one set of bosses for another. It's like learning by doing, you know. The process empowers you.
Right, the learning is in the struggle, which naturally leads to his critique of all forms of elitism. He just fundamentally rejects the idea that any special group, intellectuals, revolutionaries, experts, knows best for ordinary people. He seems to have this deep faith in the abilities of regular working folks. I think everyone's felt that dismissal by an expert sometimes, right? That feeling is exactly what Draper pushes against.
Absolutely. And fourth, a key part of his project is reclaiming the authentic Marx. He works hard to pull Marx's ideas out from under the shadow of 20th century authoritarianism. He shows Marx not as some blueprint for dictatorship, but as a profound thinker about human freedom and radical democracy. It really challenges you to ignore the easy labels and look at the original source.
And finally, his view on the state as an instrument of class rule. He doesn't see the modern state as neutral ground.
Not at all.
Yeah.
He sees it as structured for command, for control, the opposite of what genuine socialism needs. So the goal isn't just to capture the existing state machinery, but to actually replace it with new forms of popular democratic power. It really makes you question, doesn't it? How often does the government feel like it represents your interests versus other powerful interests? Draper wants that question front and center.
Okay, let's talk about some specific words. What stands out to you from Draper's writing? It sounds like the book has some really memorable lines.
It definitely does. One of the most powerful, which is central to his whole argument and comes from Marx, is the emancipation of the working class must be the act of the working class itself. Mm-hmm. That's the bedrock. Real freedom can't be delivered like a package by leaders or parties or states. It has to come from people's own collective action, their self-organization. It cuts against any kind of top-down, paternalistic approach.
And a quote that just perfectly sums up his main idea must be, socialism from above is the socialism of the rulers. Socialism from below is the socialism of the ruled.
That one is so stark, so clear. It just nails the core difference and exposes the class basis of these opposing views. It's all about who holds the power, right, and who benefits.
Exactly.
Another vital one is the state is not a neutral instrument that can be used equally well for liberation or oppression. It is structured for command and control, not for democracy. So it really captures why he's skeptical of relying on existing state power for real change. He argues for building new structures based on popular control.
And this last one really speaks to the integrity of the process itself. Democracy is not a method that can be abandoned when it becomes inconvenient. It is the essence of what we are fighting for.
Yes, that's crucial. It directly tackles the idea that you can maybe sacrifice democratic principles for short-term gains or efficiency. Draper insists the means you use shape the ends you get. You can't build genuine democracy using undemocratic methods. They're inseparable.
So bringing this all home, what does this mean for us right now? How can we actually use these ideas in our lives, in our communities?
Well, Draper's framework is surprisingly practical. It gives you this lens, this filter. You can use the from above versus from below idea to evaluate any political movement, party, or leader today. Ask yourself, does this group actually empower its members to decide things? Or does it just expect people to follow orders? Is it promising to give people benefits from on high? Or is it about empowering people to take control themselves?
That's a really useful filter. And presumably we can apply this inside our own organizations too, like in a union or a local group.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can use these principles to transform organizations you're part of. Push for more internal democracy, more transparency, more control by the actual members. Draper's ideas are a great antidote to that creeping bureaucracy, you know, where decisions get made further and further away from the base.
Keeping it participatory.
Yes. And beyond specific groups, The book encourages a kind of healthy skepticism of authority in general. It pushes you to ask those critical questions constantly. Who really holds power here? Whose interests are they serving? How are they held accountable? That questioning is just vital for any real democracy.
And it sounds like beyond the critique, it offers something positive too, a different way forward.
Oh, definitely. By stripping away all that authoritarian baggage that got stuck to the word socialism, Draper helps renew the vision of a better world. He offers this hopeful picture of radical democracy, real human solidarity, people having collective control over their lives. It suggests the third way, something beyond both the inequalities of capitalism and the oppression of authoritarian states. It maps out a path for change that's genuinely about liberation.
You know, for me, what really struck me in this deep dive was just how persistent that from above tendency is, seeing it pop up again and again throughout history in so many different disguises, even from people who meant well. It really hammers home that keeping movements truly democratic takes constant effort. Thanks, everyone, for exploring this with us.
Yeah, and for me, I think the most valuable takeaway is that core truth. Real social change needs people's active involvement, their self-organization. It shifts your focus, maybe from just the end result to the process, realizing the way you try to get there is just as important. Draper gives us this moral and strategic compass, really, for trying to build a more just world, reminding us democracy isn't just a tool, it's the whole point.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.